Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Kingdom Come, our second series of teaching with me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buckham from MMI London. Thank you all so much for tuning in and joining us tonight. So if you missed last week's episode, we were in the book of Matthew 24, chapter 32, and the parable of the fig tree, and it was all about the signs of the times. And tonight's message, we are still in Matthew 24, but we will be working from verse 36, speaking on how no one knows the hour or the day. So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, good evening, everybody, and good evening, Jess, again. Thank you. It's lovely to be with you. And we're going to conclude this little teachings over Matthew 24 with the title that Jess gave you. No one knows the day or the hour, and nobody does. But the Lord, again, is telling us what to expect, and he's warning us what to look for. So as we finish off this overview of Matthew 24, I can't emphasize enough, Jess and listeners, the urgency we should have about the times that we're living in, the signs and the times that we're living in. And I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to frighten anybody, because how can you frighten a Christian with heaven? Amen. The unbeliever is the one that should be very concerned. Okay, but he's not, because he doesn't believe anyway. He doesn't think anything is ever going to happen. Well, I've got news for him, Jess. That poor guy is going to wake up with a big problem, because we, how many people do we know, and sadly, couples, married couples, one's a believer, one's an unbeliever, right? Going against the scripture, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go down that road, and I'm not condemning or judging. But what's going to happen, Jess, is that couple's going to be in bed sleeping, and when that one wakes up the next morning, the one's not going to be there. That's how it's going to be. That's exactly how it's going to be. And guys, I think it's going to be a tragedy. It's going to be so frightening, Jess.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting out of your bed? You've been living, well, you've been married for 30 years, and your wife's gone. You're running around the house, you know, you look at the car still there, the clothes are still there, everything's Jesus gone. And that's what it's going to be like for the person that's gone. Wow. But it's for the one that's left behind. And that's the tragedy. So, guys, once again, I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to be the doom and gloom. I'm a watchman. And my job is called to warn people. All right. So, no one knows the day or the hour. Let's read. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we'll stop right there, Jess. No one knows when he's coming. It's because if anybody tells you that he's coming tomorrow or next week, or they're liars, false prophets, and scaremongers. Okay, that's all they are. Because the Lord here is very clear that even the angels don't know. And the Lord Jesus himself doesn't know, only his Father. Okay, that's what it says right here. But, in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. The days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wow. Right. So now we all know about Noah, the wickedness of the world then. I think it's worse now than what the days of Noah. Now, Noah started building a boat. Now, Jess, how would you feel if I was your neighbor in South Africa, and all of a sudden Fergus Buchan starts building this huge boat? You're going to come along and you're going to say to me, Uncle Fergus, what are you doing? I'm building a boat, Jess, because the flood's coming. What flood?
Yeah.
The flood that's going to take the world away. You see, the wickedness was so bad that Father sent a flood and destroyed everything except how many? 8 people. You know that lovely old evangelistic saying, a minority went in, but a majority came out. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if the Lord deems it to mention Noah, which is back in the Old Testament, Genesis, it must be relevant and serious for him to mention it now. Okay? So he's saying here, what were they doing, Jess? They were eating, drinking, marrying, having babies, going to rugby games, playing golf, having barbecues, enjoying life, which is fine. I'm all for those things I mentioned. Okay? I'm all for that. But they weren't aware of the impending doom. That's the point the Lord's making. When Noah went in, the Lord closed the door and sealed it. And then the water came. But then it's too late. So what is God telling us, Jess? When he comes and takes us away, it's over. It's too late for that one left behind. Now, I know some theologians say that, well, there's always a chance that those left behind could get such a fright, they would believe in Jesus, or they would give their life. I don't believe so. It's going to be so intolerable for people that are left on earth. They won't be able to repent and give their lives to Jesus. The church, which is the Lord's coming for, the body of Christ, you and I are the body of Christ, yes, we're the bride. Sinners that we are, saved by grace through faith, we know that. But our garments have been made white because of his blood and his sacrifice. Mm. When Noah went into the ark with his family of 8, and he brought every animal that he could in, the ones that the Lord wanted, the door was closed. So the Lord is very, very, you know, he gave us another parable. Remember about, remember the parable of the 10 virgins, right? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. But how many got in? 50% only got in. I pray more than 50% people get into the ark, Jess, or 50% of the people would, by grace, repent.
Yeah.
Surrender their lives to Jesus and start serving him and showing fruit. So, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then it goes on to say, then 2 men will be in the field, 1 will be taken and the other left. Ah, okay. 2 women will be grinding at the mill, 1 will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, let's take you, hypothetically, Jess, if I may. There's 5 of you in the office, working away there, okay? 2 of you disappear. Because he said there were 2 women in the field. Remember, 1 was left behind.
Yeah.
So one's left behind. 1 was taken. 1 was a believer, obviously the other one wasn't. And he says here, the thief that comes to an house. Now, if you're living in a, let's say you're living in a very secure complex and you know, I got no worries, I'm going to go and take a walk around to the other side of the complex, but you leave your house open. Mm. And somebody jumps over the wall behind your complex and comes in. You didn't know he was coming, but he came. And he robbed you. That's what the Lord's saying. He'll come like a thief in the night, Jess. You won't expect it. You see, everybody thinks, oh, we serve such a gracious, loving God. We do. That he'll give us extra time. He'll wait. Yes, he will. But he won't tarry forever. And when he comes, like we spoke about last week, Jess, I'm not prepared to take that chance. Okay.
Me neither.
No, no, you're not. And that's what I wanted to hear that, actually. I'm not prepared to take that chance because it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
You got no time to say, oh, Lord, I love you. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent. No, poof, gone. And that's what the problem is. Okay, so we've got to be. So let's talk about this, Jess. What do you say about this parable? No one knows the day or the hour. How does it affect you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it used to frustrate me like when I was younger, and it used to frustrate me in the sense that I was like, well, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, and maybe other people have had this in question, but I used to sometimes think, why wouldn't he give us kind of more or less the day of the time? Like, but I guess how I kind of understand it is, you know, he actually does. And he says in the Bible that he is, because he's going to give us like signs, and you know what's happening around the world. And you know, I think for me, how I see it is, if he gave us an exact time and date in the Bible, I feel like it wouldn't give people the, you know, the kind, not motivation, but you know, the sense that it doesn't actually matter. Because you, whether, like I said earlier, whether it be today, tomorrow, 2 years, 5 years, it doesn't matter. You should always try and keep your house ready. And you should always try and be prepared, because you never know. Also, you've got to remember, obviously, like, God forbid this is hypothetical, but I could walk across the road and die tomorrow. You know, and what, imagine if I knew the exact time and date, and I was like, oh, you know what, just before that date, that's when I'll start being really good and, you know, abiding by all the rules, and you know, where, and then, you know, I could die, and I would have missed out, and I would have not been prepared, my house wouldn't have been ready, and I wouldn't, like you said, it just would have been too late. So that's how I personally view it, but
well, Jess, you know, thank you for that, because it, you know, guys, once again, guys and girls, guys is a idiom I use for everybody, saints, brothers. This is coming from a young girl, and she has a sense of urgency that she can't play games anymore. She never has for a long time. But what I mean is, she knows what's coming, and surely, you know, my question, Jess, is if you have that urgency in your spirit, and I've had it in mind for many, 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 many years, because I'm an evangelist and I know what God did for me. Surely you wouldn't want any one of your loved ones going to hell. Surely you'd be a
exactly.
Witness. Surely you would fulfill Matthew 28, 18 to 20, okay, or Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, not everybody's going to agree in here. I know that, okay? Mm. But give them the opportunity. And that's where I think when we stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, which is the seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, because that's history. When you go there, there's no coming back. I'm going to say to you, but Jess, you knew this. You even spoke with Pastor Buchan on a program. Why aren't you telling? Why didn't you tell your friend? Sorry, because you're there already now. You're standing there before him. Oh, well, I was busy, I was working, I'm running a business, I'm up and running and growing. Well, I don't know if it's going to wash with him. You know what I'm trying to get at? You're going to get into heaven,
yeah.
But he ain't pleased with him. And you won't be pleased if you see, which we are going to have visions, of our brothers and sisters, family members, friends going down the road. So, yeah, get your house in order. So, as we wrap this up now, Jess, brothers and sisters, I'll say it again. I said it last week. This is an overview. This is us, just Jess and I are just scratching the top of the earth here. I mean, we could preach for 2 years on Matthew 24 and not finish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm giving you an overview of what it means. And I think what you take out of this, Jess, I have, even talking to myself again, the urgency of the times we're living in.
So yeah.
Brothers and sisters, as I was sharing with Jess, speak to your friends, speak to your own family members, speak to your colleagues at work, tell them about Jesus, tell them he's coming. Are you ready? Amen. So let me close in prayer, Jess, and I'll hand back over to you. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's faithful and true. And Lord, your words will never, ever fade away. So Lord, encourage our listeners. This is an encouraging message, not a condemning message, not a fearful message. This is exciting stuff. Lord God, bless, favor, and protect everybody that's on this channel, that's listening to this word, including Jess, her family, me, and my family, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for sharing that message with us today, and thank you to everyone that tuned in and joined tonight. If any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to our prayer email address, which is mmi.londonprayer@gmail.com. Pastor Fergus would love to hear and get back to you. So we'll see you all next week, and don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, God bless.
God bless.